listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
My fans can't wait for me to sun your punk ass and crush your whole little shit. I big pun your punk ass. You a scared little bitch. Tiptoeing around my name, nigga, you lame. And when I get at your homie, don't you just tell me you was just playing.
Oh, I was just playing with you, K-Dot. Come on.
You know a nigga rock with you, bro. Shut the fuck up. You sound like the last nigga I know. Might end up like the last nigga I know. Oh, you don't want to clash, nigga, I know. I put my foot on the gas, head on the floor, hopping out of the vehicle crash. I'm on the road yelling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I am the greatest rapper alive. So damn great, motherfucker, I died. What you're hearing now is a paranormal vibe. House on the hill, house on the beach, nigga, facts. A condo and Compton, I'm still in reach, nigga, facts. I'm fresh out the water, I'm about to breach, nigga. The 5 foot giant woke up asleep, nigga. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Y'all was Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Tuesday.
Yeah, today's Tuesday.
That's right, Tuesday, and a good day for white folks and wine. Okay, mm-hmm. Wine and white folks get into the hijinks that makes their lives go round. But before we do all that, we will talk about the fact that this is the Black Guy Who Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Look us up. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We are on Google Play. Someone has asked me that on social media today.
Mm-hmm, we are.
Yeah, the only thing we're not on is like SoundCloud. But we're on everything else. So
yep, everything else.
Leave us 5-star reviews wherever you can. Let us know you're listening. If you're on social media, if you're on Twitter, use the hashtag TBGWT and let everybody know that you're listening to us and we're driving whatever conversation or thoughts you're having. We love to retweet those things when we see people out there discussing the podcast. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today we are sponsored, guys. It's brought to you by Triangle Wine Company. They have a huge selection of fine wine and craft beer from all over the world for every budget. And they are trying to help you save a little bit of bread, y'all. If you go to trianglewineco.com and check out all their, I mean, listen, you will get lost on the site.
That's what everybody been saying.
Straight up. I had no idea. I was not ready for this. There's a lot of decisions you have to make. You're going to have a lot of FOMO, a lot of, well, what if I don't try this? This sounds good. Can I just have a sip? You know, all that kind of stuff. Go to their website, trianglewineco.com. And when you check out, put in code TBGWT and you can get 10% off of your entire order. Offer code TBGWT to get 10% off. And that's through the end of August. Okay. After August, it's going to be too late. So if you enjoy this wine as much as we do, and I know you will.
I know you will.
TriangleWineCo.com. All right. Let's get into it. You know, first, we do have to talk about a couple of things, you know, other things that are happening in the world. We don't just go straight to the white folks. I mean, it's a lot of stuff happening.
Wouldn't be good, though, but yes, I understand.
Yeah. I mean, we could, but I mean, I just wanted to kind of, there's some things that we haven't really had a chance to talk about.
Okay.
Apparently, have you seen this video of Maxine Waters, reclaiming her time?
I haven't seen it. I kind of heard bits and pieces of it, but I haven't seen it. No.
See? So, I definitely want to see this cause, I want you to see this cause, it's kind of like going around the world now. But, yeah, she was, apparently, presiding over a hearing and it was her turn to speak. And just like how Maxine Waters is kind of like, just like how Kamala Harris is you know, sort of on the attack in these meetings with this administration, so is Maxine Waters. You know, I'm not surprised
that she don't give a goddamn.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that the biggest detractors, the biggest people fighting for this democracy and for the future of this country are Black women.
Come on.
But no, neither here nor there. At any rate, is it showing on chat?
Mm-hmm.
She was in her hair and said this.
Are you familiar with the May 23rd letter I sent to you along with several of my Democratic colleagues on this committee?
Yes, I am.
Is there some reason why I did not respond to the letter that I sent May 23rd?
So, Ranking Member Waters, first of all, let me thank you for your service to California. Being a resident of California, I appreciate everything that
you've done
for the community there.
I don't want to take my time off.
I also have appreciated the opportunity to meet with you
my time.
Several times.
Reclaiming my time.
When we were doing our...
Reclaiming my time.
The time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
Let me just say to you, thank you for... your compliments about how great I am, but I don't want to waste my time on me.
Come on, you're not answering the question.
So,
I don't blame her, because they do that bullshit, and then by the time your time is up and you ask questions and nobody give you a goddamn answer, I don't blame her.
And of course, black people, black Twitter start making all kinds of jokes.
Yes! Did you see the one where the dude did like 6 verses of himself singing?
Yes, I did. That's what I do here, Karen. I'm a professional. Maxine Waters, Reclaim My Time. Somebody came out with what looked like an album cover. It's her and the
Fur.
And the debut feature, Straight to the Answer. but yeah, she inspired a gospel mix called Reclaiming My Time. And this is the video that you were kind of alluding to.
Yes.
Oh wait, I forgot. I've been having trouble playing videos unless it's straight on the YouTube page. I wonder if they did something with the code to YouTube to make that more difficult or something.
I bet you they did.
Huh.
So that probably actually force you to go to YouTube. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they changed some kind of coding to force people to go to YouTube.
About the things I've done, but I'm reclaiming my time. Yeah. You want to speak on the battles I've won?
Yeah.
I'm reclaiming my time.
Woo.
All right.
Well,
that's not why I brought you here to share it.
I'm reclaiming my time.
Yeah. Don't read my resume, cause I was there.
I'm
reclaiming my time.
Yes, I am.
My time.
Every minute.
My time.
Every second.
My time.
Stop talking.
My time.
Do you know the rules?
My time.
When it's my time.
My time.
I can take it back.
My time.
Or
I'm reclaiming my time.
Hey, what about the letter?
Reclaiming my time.
That I sent you way back when.
Reclaiming my time.
Give me the answer to my question.
Reclaiming my time.
Or don't open your mouth again.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming, reclaiming, reclaiming.
Reclaiming my time.
All of my time.
Oh.
Reclaiming my time. Oh yes, I am.
That was so good.
Yeah, don't tell me about my resume, cause I was there. That's what I'm talking about.
That's by at Michael Kilgore. It's MYKAL. My God, that was so.
We are so talented. Dope, I don't care what nobody say. Nobody else can out black us.
Also, Dominique Perry, who plays Tasha on Insecure,
mm-hmm,
she been getting actual hate mail in real life and being called a homewrecker.
What?
Yes, because of a TV show in which I would argue she is not a homewrecker in the show. So,
like I said, we're not gonna get into it, but I declare, when it comes to Insecure, y'all motherfuckers tell on y'all selves. Y'all be crying on the timeline. Some of y'all have been in various different situations. Some of y'all have not forgave. Some of y'all still angry, and that shit pours onto the timeline. Y'all do know she's playing a character, and she did nothing wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think the show does a great job of not making anybody a true villain and not making anybody a true hero.
Right.
But
people want to draw these unrealistic lines, and sometimes they don't even hold for themselves.
Right. And because people pick sides and teams, they have to defend everything every week and weird shit, you know. I try not to discuss it on social media because people are really weird. They're actually more weird about this than Game of Thrones. And that's saying a lot.
That's saying a lot.
Which is another thing I don't really discuss on my social media stuff. Like I'll live tweet it, but I won't drop my thoughts on anything because I don't feel like arguing. If I make a joke, like I had a joke, not even a joke, but an observation when I was live tweeting about something that Lady Olenna said, and it was just all of a sudden people that were in the Cersei hive and like just all this shit would just for days being in my mentions like, no, because this, no, because it's gonna go this way, no, because you don't know, because no. And I was just like, y'all do realize I was just live tweeting the show making jokes. I don't know, like, this is weird. Well, this is even worse in my opinion, because niggas, they act like these are real people, and then the more they start talking, the more you're like, oh, someone really hurt your feelings sometime, and you, or you were one of these people in your mind, and now it's fuck the world and fuck everything. And I'm like, but it's just a TV show to me. I get to enjoy this as not needing to be, I don't have to speak about it definitively because I didn't write the show and I don't know what the fuck everyone's doing. And that's the point of watching it, is every week you find out something new. How can you be on a team of something when literally 3 weeks from now something crazy might happen and now you're off the team? I don't understand.
Me either.
At any rate, what I do know is, and it's been funny because I've felt this way, but I just haven't really said much to people. People have been blurring the line between fact and fiction with this show for a minute.
Right.
And I kind of was surprised to see, not really surprised to see that people were giving her a, you know, some hate mail. She's such a love-hate character. I get so much hate mail. I even had a girl be like, oh my God, you know I want to fight you, right? Perry, who hails from Houston, has been acting since the age of 7, has been called every derogatory name in the book with the bank teller attached at the end. Despite the flack she takes from playing Lawrence's new love interest, Perry understands the perspective so many women have. For a lot of women, she, Tasha, represents that side chick or that other woman that ruined a happy home, but I really don't feel like Tasha is like that at all. She's just caught in the middle of Issa Lawrence's relationship,
right,
situation. I feel like she's just innocent in it all, to be honest. I think she just sees good in him and just wants to instill some knowledge in him and some self-esteem and some confidence and let him know this is just a phase you're going through in life and it will be great, and I would love to walk that walk with you if you have me. Yeah, that's like I said, that's kind of how the characters come across to me. But if you let motherfuckers tell it, they will act like she has a like a JFK CIA conspiracy chart with strings drawn to every character on the show, trying to figure out how she was gonna steal Lawrence from Issa.
Nope, and it didn't work like that. And that's the thing. I also, too, when it comes to Insecure, people make decisions and people have to live with the decisions that they make. Right. And I think a lot of people have been Lawrence, they have been Issa, and they have been Tasha at some point in their lives. And just keep, like, people have people fall in all three of these categories. Some people have been all three, some people have been one of three, some people have been one. And it's one of the things where people take these inner emotions and they pour them out versus just taking the show for what it is, a form of entertainment.
Yeah, that's why it's so good, I guess, is because people relate to it on that level.
Right.
Because, you know, I guess people don't do that with everything, mm-hmm. but, you know.
And also, in my opinion, too, I think because the show is so black and it's something that black people feel like they own, quote unquote, I feel like people feel like they have to pick teams, they have to pick sides. And I think for a lot of people, and this is something that I personally don't do, and this is something that, I guess, and I think me and you talked about this, I think because I'm older, I don't get into the, you know, male female size. I got to defend the males, I got to defend the females. I don't get into that. I don't get into the shipping type of thing, because I know that probably plays some role into it. Like, I don't care anything about that. I go, well, it would be nice if they get together. Well, I wish they get together, but that's as far as I take it. I don't get deep into the if y'all don't put the characters together that I want to put the characters together, fuck you and the show is trash. I don't function like that, but a lot of people do. And you also have to take consideration they also watch the show just like I do.
Yeah, if it was as simple as men are bad or women are bad as the entire narrative to a show, for me personally, I wouldn't be that invested in it, because I need more, you know, like I need characters to be three-dimensional or else I don't care.
Mm-mm.
And there's shows that people love that I just never was able to get into the, at least the relationship aspect of it, because it was so black and white to me, you know. And this has been a fascinating show because the experiment of switching gender roles in a relationship where, you know, we've seen almost to a trope of the man who's out there struggling and trying to provide for his family or his woman, and he's also the economic and a backbone of everything, and this person just sits at home, and it doesn't matter if that man's a fucking drug dealer, a mobster, whatever. We will always, as an audience in general, not me, but just in general, I always see people turn on the woman at home. Mm-hmm. Every time, no matter what, the dude could go out and be fucking women, dude could go out and be, so a lot of this for a lot of people is like a turnabout is fair play thing, where it's like, cool, finally a woman cheated and then the dude got to deal with it. And it's really about all the other shows and shit, all the other media that exists in America, where it's just like, well, how you like it, niggas? You know, now y'all mad? A little cheating gonna hurt your feelings? And I feel like a lot of people are getting that shit out. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, I don't watch TV that way anyway. Yep. Like when it was Tony Soprano, I thought he was a piece of shit, and there was nothing. I never understood the producer's decisions to make it seem like Carmela Soprano, if she cheated on him, that would somehow equal her just being just as bad as this fucking killer mobster. I never understood the morality, but there were tons of people that would debate that shit every week, and it was a recurring storyline. We've never seen it from this perspective before. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's tearing people up, but it's still crazy to see this woman in real life and talk about, I'm trying to fight you, or write her letters and shit. Like, she's just a character.
Just a character, dog.
And not even a character that's written to be the conniving, I'ma steal your man type of woman. Like, it's just such a weird thing to do. But yeah, she says, I don't think that she was scheming or trying to get him, like, she has a backstory or some kind of alternative motive. She's just going with the flow. What's wrong with that? Playing a bank teller with goals or being a manager isn't the only position we've seen Tasha in. As a co-star in what Complex deemed the back shot heard around the world, Perry has had to be naked in sexual position more than once on screen with Ellis. Being a dancer in college, I've always had to have some kind of nudity in front of people, she said. I guess I've grown into being okay. My thing is, I'm okay with being nude on television as long as it's for a reason, for my character, has some kind of substance. I wouldn't be naked just to be naked.
Come on.
It's so good that me and Jay are able to make it look so real and authentic, because shooting sex scenes to me is very tiring. You had Melina Matsoukas in the back line, back like, pull her hair, smack her. we'll see. I love the way they're taking the show, because it's like we're gonna learn more about her.
I hope.
And it's not gonna just turn into, you know, she's just exists on the show to be in the way, quote unquote,
right? Because like I said, I don't know where they're gonna go, but one thing about I can tell about Issa, she's doing form of character developments. You're getting bits and pieces of the character as the show goes along. She's dropping drools, she's informing you, and Tasha is gonna be somebody that eventually they have to delve into,
right?
You know, just like Molly, they're gonna have to delve into more stuff about her. And Issa, like if you're gonna get a fully fleshed character, but I think a lot of times we're just getting the surface of the story, and like you said before, it's almost like we fell in the middle of their relationship, you know. Right. We didn't see it from the beginning, because they show clips of they've been together for a while, so we haven't seen anything from the past, so we might have flashbacks. You don't know what's going to happen, but like I said, people feel so strongly and so passionate, which is a good thing that it pulls this out of people, because a lot of shows don't pull anything out of people. Right. So it's good that it evoked these things, but they are just characters.
Right. R. Kelly cancels 4 shows scheduled for after party tour due to his poor ticket sales after denying sex code allegations.
Good.
Good. Mm-hmm. I think you summed it up right there, Karen. Mm-hmm. And also apparently people are not buying tickets,
right? Because even if you support him, you don't want to be the one, I'm going to the show and you having to deal with people going, nigga, you going to that rapist show?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I'm still a little surprised, because some of the ways there's a couple things I need to remember about social media is also a lot of time, like, just how the biggest supporters aren't always out there in these streets doing what they're supposed to do. The biggest naysayers aren't always in these streets doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a balance. And there's a lot of people in the middle that are like, man, it's not even that I care that much. I just don't want to be associated with this drama.
Right.
And it's no longer fun to say I'm going to the concert. And like you said, I don't want to have to explain my purchase, because I don't think people are good generally. Mm-hmm. They've been going to these concerts all this other time.
Right.
It was enough for him to decide to do a tour. And then this article came out, and it may just be a temporary bump, or it may be a permanent reset. I don't know, but I think it's good to know that there are people that still have a little bit of decency within them to make them be like, you know what, man, I don't want to go to a concert with a dude on stage that, you know, is accused of having a sex cult.
Yeah, that, and also it's one of the things too where, you know, a lot of more people are gonna start looking at funny at family reunions and shit. And when you start playing that his music, I'm like, cut that shit off. And you know, it's one of those things almost like the Trump supporters. You're gonna support them, but you ain't gonna be publicly with it. Like, you ain't gonna be the red trucker hat dude, you know, trying to make America great again, but you still support.
Right. I mean, it's one of those complex things, because the industry that holds R. Kelly up is an industry that is run by men.
Come on.
You know, black and white men. White men, obviously, at the very top of any industry, but black men and white men co-signing them, a lot of artists and shit. But then there's so many people that are complicit throughout, from ticket purchases to media outlets to people that have them on his album. There's so many people complicit. I just don't even know how you get rid of a dude like R. Kelly, because too many people have to admit they have a role in this shit, and I just can't see people doing that.
Right, and when push comes to shove, like all other men, you just come in another form. Like you said, nobody gets canceled. They just learn how to rebrand themselves and go to a different platform.
Yeah, well, good, because I feel like the first step is losing money.
Right.
And once you lose money, then motherfuckers have to be like, hold up, maybe we shouldn't be fucking with this dude. Unfortunately, that's how it works, because as long as he's making money, ain't nobody gonna give a fuck.
Right, because you lose money, that means sponsors and everybody that had planned on making money at these cities ain't making their money either.
Mm-hmm. Bobby V denies knowing that a woman he was having sex with, or a woman that he supposedly got off of Backpage, which I thought Backpage was shut down. Is it not shut down?
I don't know.
Maybe this is before Backpage was shut down.
Maybe. I don't know. It's on the dark web somewhere. I don't know nothing about. I don't know nothing about nobody's dark web.
At any rate, he was accused of soliciting an escort off of Backpage, but refusing to pay services for the services that were rendered. In a video that's since gone viral, the trans woman is seen calling out Bobby V for not paying her while the singer sprints out of the room half naked. Other than the turning the comments off on Instagram and posting a caption saying that he's happy, the singer has remained a pretty mum about the situation. Now, according to TMZ, he's offered up a bit of an explanation. First and foremost, Bobby V denies that the person he hooked up with was a prostitute. In fact, he says he is being extorted by the person who caught him on the video. A rep for Bobby V says misrepresentation and deception were maliciously used to target Valentino. During the encounter, Valentino was victimized and threatened by acts of extortion, which continued after his departure was captured on the video. Bobby doesn't mention how he knows this person or where he knows this person from, but says he became a victim once the person realized who he was. As for the person being transgender, Bobby V says he has no idea.
I don't believe you, sir.
Well, yeah, that's what all of them say. I mean, no, the problem is they don't want to be judged for it, which I don't think you should be. But at the same time, put it this way. I'm not saying he knows or not. I don't know. But what I am saying is, a lot of people that do know act like they don't know.
Come on.
Because they don't want to be judged for that. They don't want to deal with the tangential judgment, not to mention the judgment that transgender people face every day. But you don't want to deal with the tangential judgment of being the nigga that has sex with a transgender person, because then it's going to be all the ignorant, like, you gay and you know, people disrespecting your manhood and all this type of shit that a lot of men don't want to get into. But they don't mind getting in them draws, though, but they do mind the association publicly with having to deal with it, which is wow, because you can't fight the stigma that way. But at the same time, this is a guy that's not interested in that, and I don't know. I'm not here to say what the fuck happened. I mean, I don't fucking know, to be honest, because I don't know Bobby V like that, and I don't keep up with him like that.
Mm-mm.
But only he and the person that this is happening with know. And I'm sure if there's a back page like communication and shit, screenshots, something, it'll, I mean, you gonna have more than this. Like, if you being extorted, there's gonna be more than this, you know, because I'll take a few screenshots and be like, this what you text me, this what you said. I mean, if he lying, he gonna get caught. I guess video. It's the video of him leaving the room.
back on.
I mean, you don't have pants on, bro. Mm-hmm. What is the
right.
What's the argument? This oh no, it's just it's oh, just it's yeah, just it's a setup. I just happen to not have my pants on.
A random person just recording me in the room with no pants on.
Right, you're in somebody else's house with your pants off, bro. What is? I mean, not saying you lying, but I mean, this is a pretty open and shut case for most people. I would assume.
Bobby V, y'all. Bobby Valentino, running. You forgot your shoes and your keys. If you want it back, bring me some money. Call me so I can tell you the price, Bobby V. Don't run, Bobby Valentino. Come here. Come on, Bo.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of shit could have happened, but I don't know what happened in the room. But yeah, I'm sure it's funny because in the same time that so many people was dragging the Breakfast Club and all that shit, like literally, I think this story happened the day before. I just didn't see it. But it was all of a sudden like people went from joking this guy for the stigma of, you know, using the stigma of you slept with someone that's transgender. Ha 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 ha. You're less of a man. Isn't it funny? You got caught out there, bro, slipping. Oh, that's what you like? All that kind of shit. Using all the slurs and shit, and then Breakfast Club has issues, and all of a sudden it's, you know, yeah, this is disgusting, boycott them, this is what I'm talking about. And it's like all this shit flows from the same tree, you know.
Yes,
gotta get it right. Gotta get it right, man. All right, you know what, I think that's it. Did I want to cover anything on fucking with black people?
I don't know, but I'm reading this title and going, what?
We can do that one Sunday.
Okay.
It'll be around. Let me see. Is there anything? Yes, I did want to do fucking with black people first.
Okay.
Where's my fucking with black people music? There we go.
We're fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go around the globe, we find different articles make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals 25. Today's contestants, everybody, hey. Also, Miss Smart, you have a good point. Janet has a good point. It does sound like blackmail. But let me ask you this. If you suck a nigga dick and he don't pay, is it blackmail to use what you got to get your funds? I'm just asking. I don't know the legal definition. I'm not saying I might be. It might still be blackmail. I don't know. I'm just saying, nigga, where's my money? That's all I'm asking.
A service was rendered. Where's right. my money?
Right. You can't come at me and then be like, actually, I have some things to do. No, you don't. Some things like give me my money. I'm just saying. It might be blackmail still. I don't know the rules. Amazon takes on HBO's controversial Confederate show, streaming service to launch their own alt history drama that portrays post-reparations America with newly freed slaves securing southern states. Amazon Studios is partnering with Hollywood producer Will Packer and Boondocks creator Aaron McGruder for its own alt history series. Yeah, it's kind of interesting in the wake of Confederate having that press release, which for a show they haven't even written. I've been thinking more and more about that, and I do want to say something. The reason I don't have a problem with that, I started playing this game Mafia 3 this week, and I realized something. For Mafia 3, that game is about, it's essentially, you know, a white programming group that made other video games, Mafia 1 and 2, and it's from 2K Studios and shit. But it's essentially a game where you're a black dude coming back from a war, and you end up taking over the mob and the mafia and shit in 1968.
Okay.
And with all that entails, I mean, you will be called, your character will be called nigger. They do not skimp on the racism, which, as you guys know, if you listen to this show, I love. Mwah. I fucking hate a whitewash racism. I fucking hate it.
If you're gonna do that time frame, let's keep it
right.
real.
Don't stop making these white people look good, because I don't care if the people in the audience can't take. Then don't watch the movie. Don't watch the show. Don't play the game. make that shit racist, because I'm so sick and tired of my lying eyes when I watch TV and it's like, you know, episode of Quantum Leap and he's in a black man's body in 1964 and everybody's like, listen son, why don't you do this? And I'm like, they would have called him nigger. They would have called him nigger. They wouldn't have said, they would have at least called him boy.
Right.
Like, who wrote this?
Dark as something.
Like, some white dude wrote this and wanted the white people to not look as bad and to be like, these the nice slave owners. Well, anyway, all that shit to say this. Mafia 3 didn't get the pushback from black people for this. They, like, there was no, why the fuck, who the fuck, and where the fuck do you think you are doing this? Like, how you just gonna come in and just do a story about a black man in America in a racist time? Who are you to even write this? That didn't happen. But you know why it didn't happen? And I realized this when I was playing the game. And this game is like over a year old, I think. They didn't release the fucking press release about the game and what it was about until they had footage or something to show for it.
Right.
That's why. So, right. Like, white people got mad, which is honestly the best advertisement for me to watch. If you want me to buy something, a whole gang of white dudes being mad about it is like, yeah, it's like my version of Groupon. You might as well email, like, if they had white people mad pawn, you could just email me every day and be like, white people mad about this. I'd be like, oh really, how much does it cost? Let's get that. Can I pre-order? Can I get it early?
Does it come with a side of tears?
Right. Like, if you tell me white people mad about something, oh, nothing piques my interest. Like, oh yeah, I don't want this comic book to come out. Well, I'll be standing in line on Tuesday at midnight waiting for the motherfuckers to open. So that's, you know, and the same thing happened with Far Cry. The latest Far Cry is a game where you look like you're gonna be fighting some people that look like, basically, like Make America Great Again white supremacists and shit. And same thing, white people mad as fuck. That was the first time I heard about it. White people was mad about it. And I'm like, what they so mad about? Look at the trailer. I'm like, oh, so it look like a black dude about to be getting vengeance on some white people. I'm game. Like, let's do it. Let's kill some white people. Assassin's Creed had a game, DLC called Freedom Cry. I like that shit more than the game.
You played the hell out of that shit.
I killed every slave. Listen, it took me so long to beat that DLC because I was stopping every time I see a slave master doing something. I'll be like, I'll make the time. I know I'm on this mission to get these papers here, to deliver them for the other mission, but a white dude chasing a black dude for no reason in the woods. Let me just, go ahead and kill his ass. And that was just how it was for me, right? So, but you, once again, you don't announce Freedom Cry till you have something to show.
Right.
Confederate announced a show. The HBO announced a show in Confederate that hasn't been written.
I have no clue.
Barely has a concept. And only has a lunch meeting taking place that we know of. What was supposed to happen?
Right.
What were people supposed to assume? The best? That's not what happens. People always assume the worst. I'm not saying it would be bad, but I'm saying niggas gonna assume the worst because they don't have shit. It's what do I have to base this off of? Everybody loves Game of Thrones, and I love Game of Thrones. That being said, it's not like they love Game of Thrones because the racial elements of Game of Thrones are so good.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's not, can't wait to see what these woke white dudes do. That's not how it works. So anyway, that's what I realized. So on the heels of that, Amazon probably saw the bad publicity Confederate got,
mm-hmm.
and all the black people that retweeted Confederate and then said stuff like boycott Confederate and, all this shit. And then were like, why don't you do some strange fan fiction where black people got they reparations and took over the country? In comes Amazon.
Amazon was like, oh, have y'all seen what Black Twitter said?
Announcing a series that apparently they've been working on, I think, since January.
Right, so they're now already working on it, right?
Right, but still, this announcement seems premature. I just want to say
correct.
That. The timing seems perfect because you will get all the pats on the back. The announcement seems extremely premature, in my opinion. Because if you're thinking about it, you still don't have anything to show. Mm-hmm. This isn't a trailer. This isn't a script. This isn't, right. We hired this actor. This isn't even, they just wanted to hop on it while the getting was good to hit the opposite PR award of like, aha, we get the boost. We thought of the opposite idea. But yeah, it's going to be called Black America. So,
motherfucker. Why are people going to be protesting this then?
Probably. It's already trending on Twitter today. But yeah, their new show titled Black America is completely the opposite of the Confederate, which is being created by Game of Thrones masterminds David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. So that's another reason they shouldn't have said that shit. The way they ran the press release, brought to you by the game, because they just thought, oh, you'll see Game of Thrones and go, I want to watch this. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm.
You don't realize, nigga.
You would have been better off being like, brought to you by those two black people that you got to write it. You've been better off. Not saying it would have made it, people would have eventually found out who was show running it, but you've been better off saying these two black people.
Yep, they don't. They just don't understand that niggas not watching Game of Thrones because they so, like you said, so woke. They watch right. It because they enjoy the show.
Amazon's new show, which is titled Black America, Cleveland. The streaming service is partnering with Hollywood producer Will Packer and Boondocks creator Aaron McGruder to create the new drama, which will be set in post-Reconstruction time period. Black America will show newly freed slaves securing Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama as they use the land to shape their own destiny. In the drama, the sovereign nation formed is now called New Colonia. And it has a difficult and sometimes violent relationship with its much larger neighbor, the United States. Coups, assassinations, regime change, and military incursions have occurred over the past 150 years in the drama. But now, after 20 years of peace with the United States, New Colonia is able to transform into one of the major industrialized countries in the world as America declines. So it's basically going to be like Wakanda. The formal announcement about this new show from Packer, who produced hit movies Girl Trip and Ride Along, and Magruder, who won a Peabody Award, was prompted due to HBO's announcement of Confederate. It felt this was the appropriate time to make sure the audiences and the creative community knew there was a project that pre-existed, and we are pretty far down the road with it, Packer. So, yeah, I still think they should have waited
until they had something to show.
So you got something to show, because right. It's easy, you know. Because right now you will get the props for it, but if your shit don't show up and show out, it's still a wrap.
Yes, sir.
Here's the thing I will say, though, about all this. Aaron McGruder, one of those people that, and I think I've said this on the show a few times, Boondocks and Chappelle's show kind of slid through before the internet and social media was super woke like that.
Correct.
Before think pieces and backlash, like, the last season of Boondocks maybe got a little backlash, but mostly people were just saying, it's trash, I don't like it anymore. But they wouldn't have liked what those first two seasons were anyway.
Correct.
the other thing with Boondocks is very homophobic show, very misogynistic show.
Yes, sir.
Like, it's funny, you know. So, to me, so is Legends of Chamberlain Heights funny.
Yep.
But at the same time, you're not going to get a pass on that shit unless you want to claim like, this show right here, we just don't give a fuck, you know, like some shows are like that. I just don't give a fuck, nigga. We don't, you know, whatever. The thing is, for Aaron McGruder, he does a lot of like pro-blackness and proclaiming of like black power type shit, but he also trucks in a lot of respectability parts of it. You know, and some of it's satire, some of it's not, you know, some of it is in interviews where it's not about, you know, trying to make you laugh. So it's like, oh, he just really believed that shit. I did love Black Jesus. I think Black Jesus is better than Boondocks, if I'm being honest with y'all. I think most people didn't watch Black Jesus.
Right. That's why I got canceled.
But, I thought Black Jesus was some of the most intelligent writing, period, you know, about the idea of Jesus being this outlaw, ne'er-do-well, which is not how we perceive him from the Bible, but that is what he was in the Bible, you know. They didn't like him doing any of that shit. Nobody fucked with Jesus when he was alive. That's how he ended up dead.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's just kind of funny because that show was good. It was much better. Charlie Murphy was great in it. It was just,
but in the parts I seen, it was hilarious.
It was a great show, man. Me and Justin used to talk about it all the time. But nobody watched it, so it got canceled. I think Aaron McGruder wrote Red Tails, which is terrible. So I don't know, man. I don't feel like, I feel like this is the right time to get the PR bump, but this, to me, this announcement doesn't sound like a, well, damn, it's just a home run. Nothing to see here. Same way I feel about Confederate with this shit. If I'm being honest with y'all, it's a good chance this shit not gonna be good, right, or it's not gonna knock it out the park. The same way I think Confederate will not knock it out the park. Like, it's very low chance that either one of these are great shows.
Right.
I'll probably end up trying to watch both of them if they make it to air or whatever, but I can see how both of these are not good, you know? Mm-hmm. And hope, you know, it was, Boondocks has been a while now. So maybe, Magruder's kind of developed on some things. Maybe he's evolved, quote unquote, as they say, on some shit.
We will see.
We'll see.
You're right. When a lot of his shows came out prior to Twitter, or right when Twitter first started happening. Mm-hmm. So you could speak about it and live tweet about it, and it wasn't nothing but a handful of people. You know, now, if Boondocks was to quote unquote re-air again, you would get it would be every week another goddamn think piece Monday morning about how that show ain't shit.
Right. So we'll see, man, because I'm not trying to kill any of these ideas before they, before they get in their infancy. I don't care, to be honest, if something does. I watch too much TV to care if anything really makes it to air, but I would watch these if they, I like both of these sets of ideas. Mm-hmm. And would be interested in seeing how they come out. But that's just the way my mind works. But yeah, I wish they hadn't have announced this so early, because what I would prefer is for you to announce this by showing me a trailer with both of these shows. I would prefer to see, because I was talking to somebody on my Facebook, and they were like, yeah, then I don't know, I don't want to see any of this, da, 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 when they were talking about Confederate. I was like, okay, imagine for a second, I'm not saying this is what will happen, but imagine you're watching a trailer of something and it's fucking some white people in Confederate flag uniforms and shit sitting around drinking in a big house and treating black people badly and shit. And then some niggas in Assassin's Creed hoodies come out of nowhere and ninja them niggas to death. And then the title just says Confederate. You wouldn't be like, what the fuck was that? And how do I watch? Cause I would be. I'm not saying everybody would be. I know I would be. And then he was like, yeah, until it said the showrunners. And I was like, yep, even with those of the showrunners, I still would be like, yep, I want to see the fuck. What is this? But that's when you have something to show for it. You don't have shit to show for it. So it's easy for my mind, or anyone's mind, to insert like it's gonna be a bunch of good slave owners and they gonna be the real heroes, and like it's so easy to just slip into that, because why the fuck, what have you done to make me not think that that's possible?
Correct.
You know what I mean? So it's like I said, both of these motherfuckers fucked up for not announcing this shit ahead with something to show. And same thing for this show. I felt like, cool, good idea, hope it's good, glad y'all thought of it before this shit, be honest with you, because it would have really looked janky if they would have been like, in the last week we came up with this idea. Anyway,
what is y'all, Congress talking over shit up on a napkin?
Right. But at any rate, I wish they both of them had trailers or some work to show, because this ain't it for me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 0 to 100 for the Black America show.
0.
All right, yeah, I'll give it the same thing. I think I get Confederate 50. Like, I would like to see some work. Just show me some work. No biggie. And soon, if the work look good, back to 0. A police officer got desk duty for wearing a racist t-shirt. Washington police officer is under investigation for wearing a t-shirt to court that an advocacy group says has a racist symbol and offensive images. Local media report, the unidentified officer was assigned to desk duty Friday in order to have no contact with the public pending an investigation. Desk duty Friday. The black shirt shows a Grim Reaper holding a rifle under a District of Columbia flag. Above the image is the word power shift, which, with a cross embedded in the letter O. The image is a sun cross, which advocacy group white supremacist groups use in their logos and imagery. The group Law for Black Lives DC has filed a complaint against the officer and posted an online petition demanding his firing. Desk duty for one day and we'll look into it. No contact with the public. He should be fired.
Yes, sir.
0 to 100.
Oh, that good one.
100. Same as you.
Yep, 100.
Rachel Lindsay, the Bachelorette, or the Blacklorette, continues to prove she is a queen in response to a racial Instagram post about Dean, Well, I guess the white dude she sent home, the racist one.
Mm-hmm. He finally sent his ass home.
Yeah, I guess so. Apparently, she sent him home, and, you know, since everything dealing with her in this show has turned into what about racism, you know, because right. She's the first, and that's how it is with the first anything. Fans have been really sad about Dean's exit, even though he's a fucking racist.
Right.
That's weird. One Instagram user named Lauren Gonzalez was particularly eager to post a pic after seeing Dean, and her caption caused quite a stir. She posted a picture hugging Dean and put "went black but came back," adding a heart emoji for emphasis. First of all, your name is Gonzalez, right?
Come on.
Isn't your name Gonzalez? What is this, ma'am? Went black but came back to brown? How is this? Okay. I mean, maybe I'm just not the guy.
Maybe some white Gonzalez is out there. I don't know.
Dean responded, LOL, at the caption. This all references Dean's initial cringy comment about going black and never coming back. Oh, maybe is he a different dude? Maybe he's not the racist dude. He's the one that said, I'm gonna go black, but I'm never coming back. When he first met Rachel, which she handled graciously, the microaggressive statement was bad enough. But now Lauren's caption and Dean's response only make it seem as though Dean is going back on his word, which implies that his dating preferences have changed. It's a very complex statement. It only seems to cross the line into some racially motivated territory. Luckily, Rachel swooped in to handle it. She said, sent back. He didn't come back, LOL. Lauren responded by making her Instagram account private, and Dean hasn't replied.
Pretty made it private.
Mm-hmm. 0 to 100, Karen.
100, fuck her.
100. Yep. All right, man. That's enough. All right. I don't know what else feel like talking about the rest of these. They're all terrible. Let's see if we can get into some white people news, guys. I think I'm running out of cover songs. I gotta go re-up on some more of these terrible ass songs.
Shit, so your YouTube could be all jacked up with suggestions.
I just got lazy. I need to go back and handle my business, because I know you people on the streets love hearing these, and I hate to deny you. At any rate, I still do have this one covered for today. D'Angelo Higher is the cover song of the night.
King and queen.
Background, see her hair wrapped up. White women don't wrap their hair up.
Well, you know, in the background.
Come on, fade it out a little bit. Can't kind of see her face clearly.
Where y'all belong.
Oh, Lord. According to the 53%, that's where we belong.
Just like Confederate says.
Way in the back.
But anyway, it's time for my new favorite segment. For me. I don't know about for the audience, but it's definitely for a favorite for your boy. Wine and white folks. Okay, mm-hmm. We're going to do a long edition of white folks news.
Yeah, I really got to go get me some crackers to pair with this wine.
We do need to get cheese and crackers next time. Mm-hmm. But it's time to get silly and sip on some wine and talk about white people news, to lighten it up, if you will. Not even gonna do the Donald Trump part, just the light mm-hmm. part. We deserve is why we're doing this.
Come on,
we're reclaiming our time.
I love it.
And you know what? This time is brought to you by Triangle Wine Company. They have a huge selection of fine wine and craft beer from all over the world for every budget. From well-known brands to rare finds, from small producers, you can shop online, have your orders shipped to your home or your workplace. If you live in the Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina, which Leonard Brothers is asking about today, he lives up there, they actually got stores.
Yeah, they got physical stores. They do.
You can take your ass in there. And they got weekly free wine tastings and beer events.
They sure do.
Visit TriangleWineCo.com to compare their competitive prices and save 10% on your order with offer code TBGWT to the end of August. That's TBGWT at TriangleWineCo.com. And you have it to the end of August. Okay, guys? This is it. All right? We got how many days in August? It's the first day of August, so let's get on it. All right, you ready? Talk about these white folk.
Let's talk about these white folks.
See what these white folks talking about. I still got it. Sarah Silverman, 46, shows off her smoking hot bikini bod in a funny Instagram selfie.
Oh shit!
You guys know Sarah know Silverman?
46.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. The time she did a joke in blackface or whatever, because that's the kind of shit I remember. After that, I was just like, eh, whatever for Sarah Silverman, you know. Like, I don't know if she, you know, she's one of those people that I think her funniness is the I am willing to be offensive to everybody type funniness, and it's just not my thing.
Right.
You know, she's had some good moments though. She spoke at the DNC last year, you know, so it's not, you know, it's just for me personally, she's just not my swag at any rate. She went on Instagram and showing off for the gram. As female celebs go, she's not one to regularly flaunt her wares, but Sarah Silverman proved she had nothing to hide with her sizzling bikini selfie on Tuesday. The 46-year-old rocked a tiny black and white striped two-piece as she laid out on the sun lounger.
Mm.
Yep. She do got that flat stomach, man. I mean, 46, dog. Celebrate yourself. You made it.
Come on.
You know, it's hard to be looking good at 46. A lot of people can't make it there.
Right? I mean, she do got a six-pack, and I'm cool with my fruit punch pouch. You know, I'm good with that.
But while showing off her fabulous body, the comedian was forced to hide her face, explaining why in the funny caption. I'm posting this to prove to all you motherfuckers that even though this melasma ridden Jew has to wear two hats, zinc and bandana over my face, I still got it, she declared. On Saturday, the Wreck-It Ralph star was spotted on a shopping trip with her boyfriend Michael Sheen in New York. The couple been together since 2014. In June, Sarah described their relationship to Jimmy Kimmel, who just happens to also be her ex-boyfriend of 7 years. "He's my on again, off again lover," she said. "I call him my on again, off again lover because we're apart by oceans, one ocean." Silverman then explained that Sheen moved from Los Angeles to the UK after his daughter was accepted to college in New York. His daughter turned 18. He wanted to go home. He said he was here to be near his daughter. Now she's off and she's going to start her own life. So he's there a lot. And then we just long for each other and we see each other. We love each other, she added. She also insisted she has no problem with the long distance arrangement. "You know me, I'm a loner, so it's okay." So there you guys go. Sarah Silverman out here showing out for the gram.
Yes, yeah, she is.
Planes in the bio.
Come on.
Another white starlet that many people know, Drew Barrymore.
Now I know who that is. Little girl in E.T.
Little girl in E.T. That's correct, Karen. She also has been in many other movies since then. Most notably, Home Fries. Nah, I don't know. 51st Dates, most notably. she started the Charlie Angels franchise, you know. That was good. Mm-hmm. For a little bit. I let it get this bad. Drew Barrymore groans about gray hairs and unkempt brows as she prepares to film season 2 of her Netflix show. She's been enjoying some downtime with her daughters in recent months, but now that it's time to start filming again, Drew Barrymore doesn't feel anywhere near camera ready. The 42-year-old actress took to Instagram on Monday to complain about her unkempt eyebrows and gray strands as she prepared for season 2 of the Santa Clara Diet. I mean,
them regular ass eyebrows.
You're like a normal ass white woman to me.
Right, I mean, you ain't got a pencil on me. Why you bragging?
Sharing a close-up snap of her makeup-free face, Drew wrote, hashtag becoming Sheila. Oh my God, how did I let it get this bad? Base and brows needed. Must become her hashtag Santa Clara diet. Here we go again, season 2. And the mother, too, wasted no time in getting some help from her glam squad as she shared a photo on Tuesday while having her locks dyed. And the mother, too, first, hair with at Tracy Cunningham 1. Round 1 Santa Clara dye, Olive is hanging, and Tracy puts conditioner and foils on her for solidarity. Her daughter, see? In a sweet selfie, the 51st date star is seen with foils in her hair while her daughter Olive copies her with chemical free version, thanks to hairstylist Tracy Cunningham.
Gonna be like mommy. Oh,
Drew stars as Sheila in the Netflix horror comedy, which also she also executive produces along with Timothy Oliphant, who plays her husband. It follows the suburban couple as they cope with Sheila's transformation into a flesh-eating zombie. People watch this or not?
I see some people in the chat room talking about they love it.
Yeah, because I wanted to watch it and I just didn't get around to it. Season 1 drops on the streaming site in February, with season 2 due sometime in 2018. Earlier this month, Drew delighted fans by sharing a selfie with BFF and Charlie's Angel star, co-star Cameron Diaz. She captioned it, "Getting out of your house with your girlfriend and being a whole person with your sister. Remember to spend a moment with the ones you love in your busy life. She has made me feel beyond beautiful. Always has, always will. Hashtag thank God for your friends. They rejuvenate and confirm everything." There you go, guys. That's some pretty nice breeze. I'm feeling better already.
Much better.
Who? Trump who?
All right.
Come on.
What laws are they passing? Who cares?
Don't nobody care. Mm-hmm. I see how you can just float through life. Worried about your 401k and that's it.
Right, y'all better be glad we ain't near the beach. I snap, put pictures of my feet on there.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Kate. Topless Kate Moss exhibits her ample assets as she fearlessly dangles out of a helicopter for sexy windswept photo shoot in Italy. More like titillate.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Because her titties was out. Y'all get it? She was discovered at the age of 14 and was propelled into stardom as one of the most well-known supermodels in the world. And Kate Moss proved that the sky was still the limit, literally, as she embarked on a sizzling topless photo shoot in a helicopter in Capri, Italy on Tuesday. The 43-year-old British icon oozed sex appeal as she flaunted her sensational front as she was whizzed over the picturesque Amalfi Coast while the camera captured some sexy windswept snaps. Yo, I'm not trying to hate, y'all. I swear to God, I'm not trying to hate. All women are beautiful and all that stuff. Her face looks so stupid in this picture.
Yeah, the way that picture, I don't know, the way they snapped
it. Can't be one of the ones from the shoot.
No, her hair is like locking up. Yeah, you know.
That can't be an approved photo. Mm-mm. Her face looked dumb as fuck.
She didn't approve this one, I can tell you that right now.
Oh my God. No offense though. She
didn't approve that one.
Right. Someone said in the chat she looked gone off that lean. She does. Dog.
She looks high.
This is why Beyonce be like, listen, y'all ain't gonna just be putting my picture up without no permission. Use the approved ones from the site, because y'all not gonna have me out here looking stupid taking these ones where I'm blinking and shit.
Right, because what you ain't gonna do, and talk to my lawyer.
Yeah, that looks like a money shot face. Like, mm-hmm. Right before you get ready to come on their face, like the face that you make. Also, isn't it funny what's artistic for white women and shit? She took her shirt off in a helicopter and leaned out. Guys, so risky, so dare.
Yeah, she flashed her titties.
Right,
so risky, so daring.
She flashed her titties, y'all. Meanwhile, you let fucking Beyonce or Serena be on the cover of something tastefully posing nude, and it's you fucking whores. You know, Jesus Christ, the double standard is amazing. Kate, who has done a fair few topless shoots during her time in the modeling industry, looked in her element as she showed off her ample assets while up in the sky. Wonder what the rule is too for them to take the pictures and
with her titties showing.
I'm
guarantee you there has to be something.
Because they edited it. They never put it out titties full the way out.
I guarantee you they're in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like where they guarantee you no children are going to be around in the facility. Got to be.
Yeah, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. At any rate. Damn, this next picture, she looks stupid too.
She looking worse in this picture.
Jesus, what was going on?
I mean, did the hair get caught up in the wind?
It's a dumb idea. You know, this is like when you see them hood photo shoots on the Tumblr.
Yes.
I follow a lot of accounts with people with big asses and shit.
Yeah, me too.
It'd be like a woman with a big ass, but she posed on train tracks. You'd be like, why would you do that? Like, it's a lot of places you could have took a picture. I mean, I'm looking at her ass. It's not like I went, oh, the decor of the train track. It really says something. It brings together a postmodern feel.
I know, right? At the airport, you're like, I came here for the ass and titties. I could care less about the plane flying in the background.
This must be ATL booty shots post-cubism phase. He was going through a lot. And he was taking a lot of pictures on rooftops, fire escapes.
He's kind of mature. This was like the 2012 edition.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can tell from his use of the blue hue in the background as she had one foot over the fire escape and one butt cheek in the air. That's what he's known for, and that is why I follow him. He's the greatest. Fuck out of here, man. This is dangerous. This is the white people version of dangerous. Pull your titties out on a helicopter? Why would you do that? If people just want to see your titties in a fur dog, you can literally do that on the ground. Yes, safe as fuck.
Yes, you can.
Nobody looking.
Because your ass fall out, the party over.
You can't even open your eyes up in a helicopter because fucking it's a helicopter.
The wind dust and shit blowing in your eyes.
All these pictures look terrible. I hope
that's why she looked terrible, because you know where she at? The propeller flying and dust flying in the eyes and... She ain't got shades on.
What are you even advertising? Titties.
Titties and furs.
You know, the titties brand has been on the decline, but hopefully Kate Moss can get us back up top, guys. Just I became the investor in Titties Inc. last year.
The titty stock is always high, dog. That's one stock. The titty stock and the pussy stock and the ass stock will never go down.
Right. Well, you know, titties is having a down year after Trump got elected. It looks like
titties dropped by 2%.
We got an advertiser campaign for titties, and we just hoping, just fingers crossed, do we can get people back on these titties, guys, because it's it's a lot.
Need to diversify your stocks. Might want to get in them lips.
Right. I'm gonna have to invest in some other things. Relying on her natural high cheekbones and stunning features, Kate opted for a simple slick of makeup. Elements of her personal rock chic style was incorporated to her styling with her black skinny jeans and heavily tasseled sky-high boots. Okay, this one's a little better because she got her eyes closed and she's leaning back.
Look bad.
But they all look stupid.
Right, because you can tell. I mean, this literally looks like, why are you taking this shot? The wind is ruffling. Look like the helicopter leaning to the side. Look like somebody be telling you, ma'am, are you okay? Look, I want to be like, ma'am, are you okay?
Right.
Do I need to call EMS?
Ma'am, you need to put your seat in the upright position.
I know. Buckle up, ma'am. We don't need you falling out the helicopter.
We're preparing to land.
Right.
We've almost reached our destination. The seatbelt sign will be fashioned. We'll be on. Is this the same picture? Is this the same picture in all of these? No, it's not. This is a bad. Okay, wait. That's got to be the same picture because she's holding the coat that way. These are bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, baby.
Yeah, she didn't approve these.
What is she doing?
I hope she ain't approved these pictures.
Right. This is not for you. Clearly planning ahead for the sky high photo shoot. Not much was done to her blonde locks as they frantically caught the wind. With more than 300 fashion covers under her belt, Kate utilized her years of knowledge to strike a series of glamorous poses. She was seen closing her eyes and perching her head back to allow the camera to capture her angles. Kate didn't seem to sport any hint of nerves as she dangled out the doorless helicopter and fully relied on the fact she was strapped in appropriately ahead of takeoff. Who got to do that job? Excuse me, ma'am. I'm just going to get by these titties. Yeah, y'all strapped up. Yeah, I guess, man. Fashion is dangerous, right?
Apparently so. Too dangerous for me then. Fuck that. I could have did that on the ground.
She's also content on the romance front as she reunited with her beau, Count Nikolai von Bismarck.
Not Count. Yeah, she in a helicopter. Niggas would have did this on top of a Cadillac and called it a day. What are we talking about here?
Count Nikolai.
He's from Transylvania. What's happening here?
Count Nikolai von Bismarck?
From Transylvania, I'm trying to tell you.
Dog, is this a real thing that's happening right now?
I don't know. I think they made this character up.
I think I killed him in level 3 of Assassin's Creed.
I think you did too.
Count... Good grief, man. That's horrible. Anyway, he's 30.
And probably like a bazillionaire.
He sounds like he's 80 though.
Don't he though?
After he reportedly spent several
months. He transforms into a bat and flies away.
Listen, in a story, where a woman put on a fur coat and got a helicopter with no shirt on to take pictures. The whitest thing about this is still Count Nikolai von Bismarck.
Come on.
What is your life like, bruh? I think that video game where you get I can't remember the name of this game. I don't want to take it. The fuck is that name? Y'all will know the game if y'all play video games. The one where you get like disgraced and killed and then you have to get revenge on everybody. It's made by the same people that made BioShock. That fucking game, he like the bad guy in that. Like you get to the end, it's like Count Nikolai von Bismarck.
That was behind the whole thing.
The man who destroyed my whole life. I can finally get to kill this nigga. That's who the fuck.
He looked like he was one of the main characters in what's that, Castlevania?
Right. I have to look up that game. I wonder if I can find it.
You probably can't just Google that phrase.
Yeah, it's two games. I played the first, I just can never remember the name of it. Not BioShock. What is the name of this game?
It's gonna be Dishonored.
There you go. Dishonored. Nigga, Count Nikolai von Bismarck, you kill him in Dishonored for sure. For sure. If you don't, that's a free idea for Dishonored 3. This motherfucker does something to your family, you gotta kill his ass.
They got a free idea,
right? German aristocrat Nikolai who works as a photographer, was believed to be detoxing the U.S. at the request of his parents. Of course. And his parents' names, Debonair and Leopold.
That ain't the whitest shit ever. That's white on white on white on white mayo sandwich white.
Right.
Woo, that's some white shit right there.
That's why we need the wine for the wine and white folks, because of shit like this. That's ridiculous, bro.
Right, and them niggas over there worried about trying to live. Can you believe that?
Debonair.
They civil rights and shit.
Debonair and Leopold. Huh?
Right.
Who? Why is this okay? In the words of Titus from Unbreakable, Kimmy Schmidt.
What white nonsense is this?
What white nonsense is this? And he on drugs, and his parents try to get him detox, and he had to go to a whole another country to get detox because they that rich.
Whole another country.
A source told the Sun at the time, Kate is gutted that he is away for so long, but knows for the best. She's been pining for Nick and has really missed having him by her side. More pictures of her in the helicopter looking sleep. She is surrounded by friends, but it's not the same. She has attended events like George Michael's wake on her own. She really wanted Nikolai's support at that, but understands why he has to be away. However, while it had been claimed that Nikolai's parents see the supermodel as a bad influence, it was reported late last year that she booted the handsome count out of her home over his alleged refusal to tone down his wild partying ways. Although Kate was said that briefly split with Nikolai back in October, but the pair appeared to rekindle their romance shortly after. Well, there you guys go. Kate pulling her titties out in a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get whiter than that.
No, sir. Where the think pieces at?
You know they ain't coming.
Mm-mm. She just makes it look too unrealistic for everybody, and I just don't understand.
This is high fashion.
Right.
Lily high, because she's up in the sky.
And high, because she was on drugs with her boyfriend.
She looks so high.
Cash Me Outside, how about that? Teen is sentenced to 5 years probation after pleading guilty to grand theft, marijuana possession, and filing a false police report. Right.
100.
Guess they caught her outside.
Yes, they did.
Well, how about that, Karen?
Mm-hmm. How about that?
How about that? You've been caught outside.
And in this picture look like she went 100% white girl.
Listen, there is nothing, I know people hate this shit, it's funny to me though. Mm-hmm. There is nothing better than white people who try to adopt black mannerisms and then they get in some trouble and they go full white person to get out of it.
Honey, they pull out the white card like the Queen of Hearts and yo spades deck. They like, bitch, I'm white.
That is the chicken noodle soup for my soul. I know everybody get mad about it and shit. I see that shit, I laugh so fucking hard.
Yes, sir.
Every time I'll be like,
because it was catch me outside, how about that? It's like, no, sir.
Right.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Yeah.
Stop pronouncing all the words. Ain't no slang when they talking about, man, we're gonna give you 5 years probation.
There is nothing.
You ain't gonna be showing
better.
Your ass cussing at your mom in front of a judge, is
right,
you?
Right. Oh, you just, it just proves to me every time it's such an act. You don't come from this.
No, you don't.
And you know how to act. You always know how to act. Then you show up in court, I am just a juvenile, sir, and I'll have you know that I am 100% responsible for my behavior. It was so rude and so poor.
I do have a future. You know, I made mistakes. I will be the first to admit that.
My poor old mother, God bless her soul, Your Honor. And I swear to you, indubitably, if I am able to get out of this courtroom from today to the day that I go into the coffin, I shall honor my mother and my father.
Come on, all the days of my life.
You know what? You rob somebody, you beat them up. And you stole, but you know what? And you had weed. I've been moved by your speech, Mrs. Bergoglio. I'm gonna give you 5 years suspended probation. You'll never see a day in jail. Good luck. And then as soon as they leave the courtroom, "Come me outside, how about that? I told that judge, suck my dick, you little bitch ass nigga. I'm gonna be in Lil Wayne video, see me this weekend, chilling with some other black men, cause, you know, they always co-sign these type of bitches. We gonna be around, hey, turn up as soon as they leave the courtroom." But in that courtroom,
it's proper English, we pronouncing everything.
Right. "Why, I never, your honor. Never, I say."
Then when I too am a friend of God, he calls me friend.
Apparently the infamous 14-year-old was sentenced on Tuesday in Delray Beach, Florida, after pleading guilty in late June to grand theft auto, marijuana possession, and filing a false police report. Her charges predate her 2016 appearance on Dr. Phil, which catapulted her to fame after her infamous catchphrase, "Catch me outside, how about that," soon went viral.
She was walking around showing her ass. She been just cutting the foot. Her mama is pimping her. If you too crazy to see that, something wrong with you.
Listen, your last name ain't gotta be Kardashian to pimp your kid.
Come on.
The state recommended Bergoglio stay in the Palm Beach County, but she is allowed to complete the probation in California, where she now lives with her mom, Barbara Bergoglio. The charges stem from 3 separate incidents last year after the girl stole her mother's purse, her mother's car, and called the police to falsify a report that her mother had been using heroin. In May 2016, a false police report was filed when a teen called to report a domestic battery involving her mother. But when police arrived, Bergoglio accused her mother of using drugs and pointed to powdered sugar scattered on the bathroom counter that she claimed was heroin. Bergoglio later admitted to the reporters that was false. And her mom went, "I got a star on my hands. Cha-ching. How about I cash you outside? Because I won't be taking this money."
Cash you all the way to the bank.
The state attorney office also said Bergoglio was found in a car with marijuana, and that was this year. Her father, Ira Peskowitz, attended the sentencing on Tuesday and expressed his fears for his daughter's future. He made similar claims as she pleaded guilty in court late June. Tearfully told reporters, "My daughter is being exploited. She posts 24/7, is controlled by an alleged management team that promotes absurd behavior for a 14-year-old child. He also feels that she's being groomed for a career in pornography by adults who only want to leverage her newfound fame." Yeah, her mama one of them. Peskowitz, who works for the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, claims his parental rights are being stripped away. He told NBC, "I am the parent in the relationship with Danielle that is trying to see the best thing for this child. Since shooting the star and the 14-year-old girl moved to Hollywood with her mother and is reportedly shooting a reality television show. The pair have also encountered controversy, including getting kicked off of a Spirit Airlines flight after a confrontation with another woman. The teen could also face additional charges for a battery incident in Lake Worth, Florida that happened earlier this year." Yeah, she white, so she probably never end up in jail, but yeah, they don't give a fuck about that girl future. That's what's so whack about it.
Correct.
Look, she 14, and I mean, it's still like whack as fuck. She's not old enough to know how stupid that shit is, but every adult in her life is stupid. It knows.
Correct.
And they're making money off of it.
They don't give a fuck, right?
They just don't care. Like, other people might feel comfortable judging 14-year-old. That's fine, do you. But for me, I'm just looking at all the adult intervention that should be required in a child's life at 14.
Come on, look like her daddy the only one going something wrong, and they like, "Nigga, get out of here."
He was crying in the courtroom.
Right, because he's like, she shouldn't be with them.
Right, he's like, this motherfucker getting in real crimes for a fucking fake TV show. This isn't good. Right, and her mom not stopping her because her mom got them dollar signs in her eyes.
Right. It wouldn't surprise me if she hadn't been pitched or in the process of getting a TV show.
No, it said she's filming her reality show now in California. That's why she's doing her time, or she'll be doing her sentencing there.
What?
Right. So, I'm just saying.
Poor daddy. Daddy's fighting for his baby girl's life, and they like, you need to beat it.
Yep. Her style will go on and on. Celine Dion, 49, enjoys another sartorial astute display as she leaves her Paris hotel in a floral embellishment bohemian dress.
I like her.
Let me tell you something. When I seen this outfit, I said, now that shit is astute. Sartorially. And I think we all thought the same thing.
She got an inside out slip. That's what the hell she got on.
Look how astute that sartorialism is on that shit though, Karen.
She got on a see-through slip. What is we talking about here? What about her dress?
That shit astute though. I bet you won't say that motherfucker ain't astute. I know that much.
High fashion, too high for my taste.
I know she looked in the mirror when she got ready to walk out the house and said, bitch, I look astute. Sartorially. And I'm gonna be sartorially on these hoes. When I get in these motherfucking astute streets. The Daily News show that have kept fans entertained during the protracted stay in Paris continued in earnest as Celine Dion stepped out on Tuesday afternoon. The Canadian singer showcased another sartorially outlandish creation selected by current stylist Law Roach after emerging from her suite at the French capital's upmarket Hotel Ritz Paris in Place Vendome with bold floral flourishes and overlay floor length designs. The overlay floor length designs gave Celine 49 a distinct bohemian air as she made her way towards a waiting car.
They made a white slip and then sold a black slip over it.
Girl, you know, so you know, you up on this sartorialism over here, Karen? Okay, I'll see you, my nigga.
That's
okay.
Honey, that fashion is high in the sky. Too good for my black ass then.
The powerful singer, who is based in Paris for her Celine Dion 2017 European tour, added to her look with a pair of strappy heels while heavily tinted sunglasses rounded things off.
Now, I will give her kudos on them shoes. Now, I like them shoes.
Mm-hmm. Styling her hair in a conventional bun, Celine was once again an engaging sight as she greeted the obligatory gathering of fans outside her lavish hotel. The Heart Will Go On hitmaker has been enjoying her newfound status as a style icon after experimenting with an array of exquisite high fashion looks during her stay in France. Mm-hmm.
Getting her groove back after her husband passed not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. The outfit is the latest in a string of bold wardrobe choices from Celine, whose style is steadily evolving with the help of regular stylist Law Roach. The former America's Top Model judge has worked with a host of illustrious stars, including Ariana Grande, Jessie J, and R&B star Brandy. The self-styled image architect Law has helped overhaul Celine's image during her stay in Paris, and results have been startling. Okay. I guess. Are you startled by this, Karen?
No, I'm not.
That's because your ass ain't sartorially astute.
I'm unstooped then.
Yeah, you need to get your astuteness up, girl.
I need to work on my astuteness then.
Her most recent sighting comes after she maintained her single woman status after being spotted enjoying the company of her backing dancer Pepe Munoz at social events.
You need to be careful now. Pepe Le Pew, that's his great cousin. You better be careful.
He has joined Celine on multiple outings, including Gian Battista Fali fashion show, where he used his fashion illustrator skills to sketch some of the fashions on the runway. He makes you feel welcome, like you belong to the family, like you're part of the group, Pepe. Oh wait, she makes you feel welcome. That's what Pepe said about Celine. Damn, they interview him in Vogue. Damn, she famous.
She's literally one of them people where you become somebody just being around her.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, you fucking Celine Dion. We need to interview your ass. What's that pussy like?
She's been around a long time.
Right.
It's some white people where they're gonna be like that till they die.
Right. Damn. That's good, I guess, to be that famous.
Because her voice is beautiful now. I give her a crush. She has a gorgeous voice.
Oh yeah, black people fuck with Celine.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got no problem with them.
They be having you up in Vogue getting interviewed like
Hey you, what them stank hoes do? Hardy mouch.
This nigga.
What them stank hoes do when it comes to Celine Dion stank hoes? She absolutely fearless with her style, her dance, and her performance as a person in her clothes. So there you guys go. Celine wore a dress over a dress, and it was sartorially astute.
A slip over a slip. Mm-mm, don't let him lie to you. That is not a dress. That's a white slip, and it's over a black slip over top of it.
Emergency white folks news. Emergency, I repeat, okay? This is some important ass white people news. I hope you're listening.
Do we got horns or bells or something? What's happening?
What is this? I don't know. That's a ship alarm. I don't like that sound effect. Mm-hmm. Take that out. That was trash.
We ain't got no emergency sound.
I do somewhere. Hold on. I have to find it. Spotify moving slow. Let me see. I swear I had some news for.
Mm-hmm. We had some breaking news.
Oh, yeah. I got it. All right. Here we go. We are rounding into some very important white folks news. White people who are listening to this, I hope you're sitting down. I hope you're paying attention because
yes,
we're about to go in depth here. And this is some very important news. We've covered some very light white people news, but this news here is news that life-changing news. Hard-hitting. Whole Foods' effort to drop prices are culminating in disappointing defeat.
What?
Right. I know. Whole Foods promised to lower prices has yielded disappointing results. Business Insider compared prices on 29 items at a Whole Foods store in Richmond, Virginia to prices of those same items in November 2015. The total basket today costs $147.77, which is just $2.26 less than the total cost in 2015.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think I've never stepped a foot in Whole Foods.
I have.
That shit, everybody jokes about how it's a paycheck. So I'm like, I'm good.
They should call it Whole Foods. Because you're going to have to turn some tricks to pay them motherfucking bills.
Right. They were like, I walked out with five items. It was $500. Why am I paying? What the hell did you buy?
Whole Foods said in late 2015 it would start slashing prices after the chain notched its first quarterly drop in same store sales in 6 years. Over the last 2 years, the company has promised more promotions as well as broader price cuts. But little has changed since then. Whole Foods same store sales started falling even faster, and price check from last year found it was still 15% more expensive than its competitors. Whole Foods same store sales fell 1.9% in the most recent quarter, marking its eighth consecutive quarter of declines. Whole Foods has made some modest investments in price, but they are nowhere near enough to shift perception, said Neil Saunders, CEO of the retail consulting firm Global Data Retail. The reductions are also scattershot, and some products are still sold at a significant premium to other grocers. The problem with this approach is that it weakens margins but does nothing to raise volumes, which squeezes profitability. Arguably, it's the worst of all worlds. Amazon recently agreed to purchase Whole Foods for $13.7 billion, and analysts have speculated that Whole Foods might finally make more meaningful price changes under the e-commerce giant's control. According to Business Insider's price check, the grocery chain has left prices unchanged on 11 items from our list over the last 2 years. We found the biggest price drops included in the fresh produce, meat, and dairy departments. For example, Whole Foods dropped the price of a pound of ground beef by 21% from $5.49 they cut it down to $5.49.
Good God, how much was it before that? 21%
more than that. And cut organic brown egg prices 19% to $3.49.
Good God, they were charging $10 for 12 eggs? What the fuck? They put like this, them chickens better be free range chickens. All the chickens better be free.
The chickens better be socialist chickens.
Right?
They better not just be free range. The chickens better fucking be in an economy that subsists with the people and for the people.
I better pick up them eggs and crack them eggs. Them chickens better bust out and have protest signs.
Right. Egg lives matter.
Come on.
But the cuts weren't enough to fully offset increase everywhere, elsewhere. Whole Foods raised the price of olive oil and peanut butter by 49% and 20%.
Good God! Mm. Wow! So your Jiffy is $15.
Is they olive oil made of olive oil from Popeye? How the fuck is they olive oil that expensive?
Right.
What the fuck? Is this a bodega? Respectively, a 17 ounce bottle of extra virgin olive oil and a 16 ounce bottle of organic crunchy peanut butter now each cost $6. Yeah, well, for extra virgin, I mean, you're paying for the virginity.
Do y'all kill the virgins? I don't understand what's happening here.
If you want some less expensive olive oil, stop fucking this extra virgin olive oil and pay for some of this slut walk olive oil, okay?
I made it just as good.
Right. Y'all better get some of this experienced olive oil, gently used. You know, stop slut shaming this olive oil, okay? Whole Foods didn't respond to requests for comment on this story. The company has said in the past that its high prices are due to its strict food quality standards, which regulate the use of artificial ingredients, growth hormones, and other additives in the products that it sells. All right, we gotta go to the next segment because we're at 1:20 and I don't want us to get cut off. We'll be right back, chat room.
No problem.
Just give me one second. Olive oil must be fucking imported from fucking Italy.
I mean, that's expensive shit. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know nothing about no oils. I just want to be sure it fries and don't burn.
They must take the fucking olives from, they must take the olives from, import the olives first and then make the olive oil in the back of the store.
Right. And I'm not trying to find out. I'm pretty sure for people to know oils, it's probably worth it, which actually means the smoke point is higher, which means it doesn't burn as quick. You can use it over and over. You know, yeah. But all most people want to do with oil is just cook whatever the hell they're cooking and add it to their baking shit if they baking.
It must be the oil they use on porn sites for porn scenes. That's the only way it makes sense because I don't understand.
Duh! Have people slipping and sliding on that olive oil.
That's the only thing I can think of because, I mean, niggas, $6 for the olive oil. And y'all raised the price on it? Like,
nigga raised.
What's going on with y'all? All right, do a little more white people news, guys. Okay.
I am liking this.
And this is more important.
I'm so relaxed.
Very important white people news here. White people, I hope you're sitting with your families and all your loved ones when you get this bad news. There was no best of show repeat, no best of show, but some good news. Wisconsin cheesemakers again dominate American Cheese Society competition.
Oh shit now.
They did not win best of show though, which is shocking. Shocking revelation.
Right. But you know, that's what cheese was formed.
A Wisconsin cheese was not among the top three overall winners at one of the country's biggest cheese competitions over the weekend, but as is typical and expected, Dairy State cheesemakers dominated the event. Of the 411 first, second, third place awards handed out in 123 categories at
Good God, I didn't realize the shit is deep in the cheese community, ain't it?
Okay, you knew that it was deep in the cheese community. Come on.
Wow.
Come on. You think I make this stuff up?
Right. Y'all like, you know, we'll just give awards out. Y'all don't even get to come across the stage.
People get mad about this stereotype, but if you take pictures of the cheese awards, how many black people you gonna see up in there, bro?
None.
Just saying.
None.
But y'all,
there was plenty of cheese and crackers.
Oh, it was, mm-hmm.
A lot of crackers.
Not enough cheese.
Nope, not enough cheese.
Some categories had more than three awards. 119 ribbons went to Wisconsin cheesemakers, more than double the number awarded to California cheesemakers, who took home 51 awards. Cheese, yogurt, and butter from Wisconsin grabbed 34 first place awards and swept the top three spots in 10 categories, including
cheese, yogurt, and butter. Goddamn.
Including cheese curds, in which Arena Cheese placed first, followed by Springside Cheese in Oconto Falls and Reynolds Rosewood Dairy in Algoma. Other categories swept by Wisconsin companies were Brick, Munster, Grating Types, Organic Parmesan, Feta with Flavor, Rubbed Rind, Cold Pack, Smoked and Cheese Spreads.
Oh no, Lord, that shit sounds delicious.
The Greek style yogurt category also was a sweep, with Klondike cheese and Klondike got cheese now?
I don't know.
And Monroe taking first place.
I gotta get, you know, cause truth be told, I like cheese. I like the cheese. I know it might sound weird, but they have like the cheese balls. Mm-hmm. That you can like dip your crackers in them cheese balls be flames. I'm not even gonna lie, thank you white people for creating the cheese balls, because them shits be good.
How many cheese balls y'all think we got in this house right now,
y'all? Oh, we ain't got none in the house now. None in the house.
She love them though.
I do, whenever I get to eat them.
She love them so much.
I need to go to the store and buy out some cheese and crackers for the next time.
Mm-hmm. Best of show went to Spring Brook Farm in Reading, Vermont, for its Tarentaise, a semi-hard washed rind cheese from Jersey cow milk and named after the French Valley from which it was inspired. The farm at Doe Run in Chester County, Pennsylvania, placed second overall with its St. Malachi, a pasteurized washed curd and washed rind Alpine style hard cheese with a Parmesan-like texture. Third place was awarded to the Sellers of Jasper Hill in Greensboro, Vermont, for its Harbison, a soft ripened cheese. Oh yes, the soft ripen cheese. So glad to see they placed. One of the biggest winners was Maple Leaf Cheese in Monroe, which took home 4 first place awards, the most first for any company in the competition.
Shit.
Owned by Shirley Knox and the master cheese maker Jeff Weidman and Paul Riegel, the company founded in 1910 completed a $1.5 million upgrade last fall. It won blue ribbons for its aged Gouda, low-fat cheddar, reduced-fat Gouda, and jalapeno Monterey Jack.
Ooh, jalapeno Monterey Jack, yes!
Maple Leaf also had second-place finishes with its English hollow cheddar, smoked Gouda, and Monterey Jack, and won third place for its Fontina and smoked Fontina.
I know they be dancing on them niggas when they be winning them awards.
They square dancing on them niggas.
Yeah, they be square dancing! They be country two-stepping.
I'm so excited for our employees. We have a great team, Knox said. Judging is quite prestigious. It's among your peers, so that's the fun part about it. The ACS is one of the 3 major technical cheese competitions in the U.S., along with the World Championship Cheese Contest in Madison and U.S. Championship Cheese Contest in Green Bay, held on alternating years and operated by the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. A Wisconsin cheese has won Best of the Show in the previous 3 competitions. In March, Sartori Cheese in Antigo won the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest with its Reserve Black Pepper Bellaventano. A year earlier, Fitchburg-based Emi Roth USA won the World Championship Cheese Contest in Madison with his Alpine-style Grand Cru Chartreuse. Royale Cheese House near Schulzburg won last year's ACS Best of Show with his Little Mountain Cheese and aged Appenzeller style. This year, Royale took a third in the original recipe open category for cow's milk with its Dunbarton Blue. Very proud of our team for helping continue our ACS award streak. Chris Royale posted on his company Facebook page, over 2,000 cheeses entered and some extremely difficult classes on Wisconsin. Yep.
Wisconsin up in this bitch going, yes, we do cheese.
Someone put a sad face emoji on that article. I'm assuming it was
not the sad face. How you gonna sad face cheese?
Assume it was a white person. Let's do an old one. Let's get some of these old ones out of here. Oh wait, I already did this one. Bachelor in Paradise, we did that one. Matthew Perry, this is very, very much about white folk. Matthew Perry has recurring nightmares about Friends coming back. The TV show, Friends.
Duh!
He'll be there for you, except if you offer millions to revive the beloved NBC sitcom of the arts. Like many other friends of the Friends, Matthew Perry is still voicing his annoyance at the prospect of a Friends reunion of any kind. And he injected a little Chandler Rian reasoning for why Exactly, he feels that way. I had this recurring nightmare. I'm not kidding about this. When I'm asleep, I had this nightmare that we do Friends again and nobody cares, he recently said in Variety. We do a whole series, we come back, and nobody cares about it. So if anybody asks me, I'm going to say no. The thing is, we ended up on such a high. We can't beat it. Why would we go and do it again? Jennifer Aniston would agree, though. She thinks social media is more to blame for why Friends wouldn't work now. Hey, we'll always have 5 to 6 quasi-reunion, though. That 5-6 quasi-reunion, though. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure white people do. Don't write in to explain it. We don't care.
We don't.
Joe Biden's niece dodges jail after using a borrowed credit card.
You mean stolen?
To steal more than $100,000.
Stolen a credit card to steal $100,000.
Joanne Biden, the scammer.
Come on.
Joe Biden's niece has dodged jail again after she stole $110,810 in a credit card scam.
Woo, what the hell did she buy?
Caroline Biden, 30, was offered a plea bargain at the Manhattan Supreme Court in New York and pleaded guilty to using a borrowed credit card to go on a lush shopping binge, according to the New York Post.
I mean, this grown-ass woman, because the way this article wrote, you would think she was 21.
Had she been tried normally, Biden would have spent up to a year in jail, but she has rather been sentenced to 2 years probation if she is able to pay back the money and behave herself.
Right, because the way that Ray
Karen, she's just a 30-year-old kid. How can you come down on her this hard?
30-year-old grown-ass woman. Oh, wow. Because the way the article, the way the title was, you would think she was like a teenager.
She's just a knucklehead. Didn't we all make mistakes as children?
I'm sorry. White folks are children until they turn 110, my bad.
Exactly. She's 30 years old, and she's just learning her way, guys. Come on.
I forgot. We got to be grown at 5. I'm so sorry.
Had she been normally tried, she would have spent up to a year in jail. But she has sentenced by 2, the young blonde's defense attorneys, one of whom is Ira London, one of New York's top rated lawyers, has refused to comment on the reduced sentence. Joe's unruly niece asked to borrow a credit card from a victim who was not identified in the court to buy an item for $672. First of all, you rich. You rich as fuck. Yo ass rich. If you ask me, Rod, can I borrow your credit card? I'd like to purchase something that costs $672. I'd say, nigga, we are no longer friends. Get the fuck out of my house. What kind of relationship did you think we had? Is it a kidney? Do you need to buy a kidney? Is it kidneys failing? Is it some life or death shit? No, I'm not helping you. What? Who does that? We don't kick it like that. Nobody just has that kind of money laying around.
Right.
But Biden strayed from her word. She opened up an account at the Bigelow Pharmacy in New York and spent more than $100,000 between April 2015.
Bigelow Pharmacy? Who's Mr. Bigelow?
It sound like where rich people go. They don't sound okay. Like for a pharmacy, we go open up $100,000 credit. You can't do that at CVS, right?
Nope. You can't do it at a Walgreens, right. No Walmart.
Eggers ain't taking that.
No.
Between April 2015 and June 24, 2016, you know what she did? She bought the store's products. How do you buy $100,000 of anything in a fucking pharmacy? On May 5th, police arrested her and charged her.
She bought gummy bears, gummy worms, Kit Kats. Sodas?
With grand and petty larceny. On Friday, she made her second court appearance, pleading guilty on both charges. This isn't the first time Biden, who is the daughter of Joe Biden's brother James, has found herself in a legal mess. In 2013, she was arrested for harassment and resisting arrest and obstruction of justice after she was caught in a fight with a roommate over rent.
Oh, shit.
Let me guess. She was the one who was shot. She also uttered to believe she when she was arrested, I shouldn't be handcuffed. You don't know who you're doing this to. What appeared to be the most bizarre part of the debacle is when she covered herself in a white blanket while she was transported to the police station to the hospital. Police at the time did not provide a reason for the transfer. Biden, who has been reportedly in and out of rehab for anger management and a drug addiction, also managed to escape jail at the time when the court ordered her charges to be dropped if she behaved for 6 months. White people stay getting excuses. Listen, just don't act up for 2 years and we'll let this whole robbing of people for $100,000 thing go.
We'll let it go. Despite nobody gonna get their goddamn money back.
Mm-hmm. Other than that.
Mr. Bigelow was like, hey, I want my money. They're like, you'll be all right, Mr. Bigelow.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Big Lots. All right. Let's play some Guess the Race. I promise y'all I'll guess the race as well. And I'm not a man that gives up on my promises. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcasts. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And, of course, you guys are all big-time racist. All right, let's undo all the goodness we've done.
I know, right?
A man was beat up and stabbed. By another man over a Magic the Gathering game.
What the hell is that? This is some Dungeons and Dragons shit. White.
Card game.
Oh, white.
Police say a St. Cloud, Minneapolis man called 911 around midnight Friday to report that he beaten and stabbed someone in his apartment. Damn, he called police on himself.
Ah!
The responding officers found a 20-year-old with a knife wound to his neck and face in Elijah Dale Creech's apartment. Investigators were told the 31-year-old and his victim got into an argument while playing Magic the Gathering, a fantasy-themed card game, in Creech's home. The argument escalated to the point where the victim was hit with a rubber mallet before being stabbed 7 times, according to the newspaper. He must not have rolled a 7 on that 20-sided dice.
Ha ha!
Although the authorities say he suffered substantial injuries, the victim is expected to live because he was attacked by a nerd. Creech was booked at Bing County Jail at 1:44 a.m. Friday. According to jail records, he's been charged with second-degree assault. Karen, guess the race.
Dungeons and Dragons white.
Let me check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Wait. Okay. It wasn't over spades white. Whiter than the Night King, white, cars and no talk of reneging white, as white as the people who attend Gwyneth Paltrow's conference white, taking a Dollar Tree UGO game too far white. The correct answer is white. Nobody missed it. You all got it.
Well, you said card game and you ain't said Deuces was wild. I was like, white.
Mm-hmm. Magic the Gathering. Well, I guess he gathered his homeboy.
What? And gathered him all the way up.
Gathered him all together with that knife.
Right. And cast a spell on him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to the next one. I did have his picture up.
He was mighty white.
Mm-hmm. It's mighty whitey, letting it all hang out.
Yes.
Steve Furtick signs a 6-year, $110 million contract with Lakewood Church. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, North Carolina. In a stunning move that is making waves throughout evangelicalism, Pastor Stephen Furtick has announced that he has come to an agreement with the Lakewood Church to preach alongside Joel Osteen, forming the core of a superstar preaching team. The contract is worth $110 million over the next 6 years.
Woo!
Lakewood confirmed, making it the largest the preaching world has ever seen.
Woo, they got them NBA contracts out there. Ooh, we need to play out the music you and Justin be playing.
this does seem to cause for my playlist.
I mean, come on, dog. I mean, who else is getting overpaid for their jobs?
Yeah, I'll see if I can find a song real quick. All right, let's see. How about this one?
Well, all right.
Hey!
Yeah.
is my jam. When I signed that dotted line. Yes, Dion. Change for the better and for the worse. So I called my mama and she said, baby, must be the money. Must be the money. Must be the money. People I never thought about associating. Must be the money. That money
in Jesus' name.
I want to be on pay for my job too.
Must be the money. Must be the money.
That's dope. I hope you don't got, I hope you got a no trade clause so they can't just trade him to the Mormons 3 years into his contract.
Come on, I hope he got good hold control.
The contract is worth $110 million over the next 6 years, making it the largest contract preaching world's ever seen. Down in the Lakewood church hat and suit, an emotional Furtick broke the news in a 2-hour televised special on TBN Thursday night dubbed The Decision.
What? Out here doing the LeBron dog. I like to announce
I'm taking my evangelicism.
I know
talents to Charlotte, North Carolina.
I know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We all going to Charlotte, North Carolina.
How is that okay?
Y'all better not say shit about LeBron James and that goddamn decision.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm gonna take my talents to, oh, he did say this. I'm gonna take my talents to Houston and join Joel's legendary squad, Furtick said, as hundreds of cameras flashed around Elevation Church's press conference room. I see those signs all around Charlotte.
Yes, and that time, Elevation, not on the low, mm-hmm. Elevation Church is huge. That's a big, they got ass white church.
They got $110 million.
Yeah, I'm white. I'm going white, dog. My answer, okay. White.
I wish Elevation the best luck in the seasons to come. Seasons? Seasons? Is this real?
Yes!
Y'all do a seasons at church and I hope that...
I hope the commissioner, you know, show my love to the commissioner, David Stern. All my love to the coaches, assistant pastors, co-pastor, deacons, ushers, Everybody on the fundraising committee.
I had to give a lot of credit to my coach Jerry Falwell. He really helped me out.
Giving all honor to God, the first coach that ever existed.
I wish Elevation the best of luck in the season to come. Hope they can find someone as ripped and godly as me. Future man, this gotta be a joke. Future, this can't be a real article. Justin sent me this.
The Onion wrote this.
Let me, but it's BabylonBee.com. It's just real. Let me. Christian Living, Celebs, Politics, Avalon B.
This probably all over the white gospel channels. We just don't know it because we don't listen.
Oh, you know what? This is a satire site. Okay.
It's real, that thing, though, I think.
It's got to be all fake. I'm not, you know, it's white. We're not doing the guessing. I'm just going to assume it's all fake. This is what happens when I let Justin send me links. Because this site is funny. Because the first article on the first page says, worship leader summons power of Moses to achieve perfectly parted hairstyle.
Did he hit his staff on the ground? It says separate. Oh, that's good. Perfectly parted. Oh, obviously, man. You ain't got no black mama because she can do it on her own. She don't need Moses. Oh, that's good.
I must be drunk because I don't even care that the show's fucked up now. This terrible article Justin sent me. All right, let's see if we can find a real one. A man murdered his wife and threw her off of a cruise ship because she wouldn't stop laughing at him.
White.
Ooh, that's some fragile masculinity up in there. Kenneth Manzanares has been charged following an incident in an Alaskan cruise. Man's in charge with murdering his wife on a cruise ship because she would not stop laughing at him. Kenneth Manzanares has been charged with the murder of his wife Kirsty after she was found in their cabin with a severe head wound during the cruise as it was sailing through Alaska. Medical Ooh. Workers and security personnel were reportedly called to the couple's cabin around 9 p.m., but the mother of three was pronounced dead at the scene around 20 minutes later. I thought I said he threw her overboard. Alright, so a witness who arrived at the cabin before the cruise said they found Manzanares with blood on his hands and clothes. According to a court document, they said blood was spread throughout the room and multiple surfaces, and Manzanares tried to grab the body and drag her towards the balcony, but the witnesses intervened. Manzanares reportedly
tried to throw over.
He reportedly told the witness, "She kept laughing at me." The ship, the Emerald Princess, pulled into the state capital, Juneau, on Wednesday morning, so FBI investigators could board. The Bureau is required to step in when deaths occur in international or U.S. waters. One of the FBI agents who apprehended Manzanares also wrote, he spontaneously stated, "My life is over," while he was being processed. The couple from St. George in Utah are believed to have been traveling in a larger group, including their children, on the ship, the Emerald Princess.
What? White.
During a week-long cruise, which set sail from Seattle, Washington on Sunday, other passengers have been taking part in murder mystery night on board the ship when the incident took place. Well, zoinks, kids. This one's been solved. Leading some people to think it was a hoax initially. Some told Fox 13 that they had heard two men and a woman fighting on the balcony that evening, and then the woman screaming for her life. One passenger, Megan Moore, said people were running through the hall with blood all over them trying to get to security. "He was very worked up," he said. "Everyone, we need all medical security, all personnel to deck 9 and deck 14. And that scared me because I'm on deck 14. Karen, you going with white?
I say white. Karen. Utah, white.
Karen is going with white.
2% of us in Utah, if that much.
Yeah. Oh, it was like they took his picture down. I remember seeing it. Hold on. Let me Google his picture real quick so I can make sure I had the right thing. But chat room, feel free to guess away. Damn it. Now two of them not showing up. Great. Oh, you need some more wine? Mm-hmm. I hear you, dog. Wine down. Okay, now I can Google it. There we go. All right, chat room says, "Merkin on the family trip, white. His America will never be great again, white. White, white, white fragility. She got tired of pretending his penis wasn't small, so he killed her, white." Mm-hmm. The correct answer is, he was. Well, by everything I can tell, by looking at these pictures. So keep in mind, this is not 100% sure, but I'm guessing. He was white. And I think you all got it right. I'll try to put him on screen. At least the Google results of him. And yeah, he definitely looked white. Because she wouldn't stop laughing at you, bruh. You took somebody's life, like, that's some shit that had been brewing. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't book that cruise thinking I'm gonna throw her ass overboard at some point, because that's not some spare of the moment type shit you do. Mm-mm. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He already planned to take her in the middle of the ocean and kill her, and wake up and be like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know what happened, she jumped off the edge."
She married you, bro. She wouldn't stop laughing at you. She married you. What? How fragile do you have to be?
Come on.
It showed up in the chat. Okay, yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did. We see it, though.
All right. We got to get out of here because Karen's got something to do at 9.
Yes, sir.
She's going to be on Project Podcast Fandom.
Me and Nina.
And they'll be talking about The Strain for all you guys. So we're going to get out of here. But first, of course, as always, we're going to wrap it up with a little sword ratchetness. And, you know, that'll help work things out before it's time to go. Now stop laughing at me. Splash. A Florida man wields a samurai sword during a road rage incident, police say. An argument between spouses in Florida on Tuesday provided the sparks for a road rage incident that ended when the husband allegedly pulled a samurai sword on two brothers.
Oh, Florida.
Police in Brooksville, located 50 miles north of Tampa, said the chain of events started as Daniel Seymour, his wife, decided to go for a drive to blow off steam after he had a fight with his wife. Seymour said he was upset that he was taking his anger out on another people in the roadway. While Seymour was driving, authorities said he began slamming on his brakes to brake check another vehicle directly behind him. A passenger in the vehicle, Adrian Rivera, told Fox 13 his brother tried to drive around the car once the road widened, but Seymour sped up and struck their vehicle. After the group exchanged words on the side of the road, police say Seymour went to his vehicle, pulled out a sword. He then waved it at the brothers and threatened to kill them. We're on the phone with the cops, and he grabs the sword and he's like, "You guys are fucking dead," Rivera said. Police arrived shortly after, and Seymour picked up the sword. He got out, made about three steps with it, and then turned around and threw it back in the trunk, he told Fox 13. Authorities took Seymour into custody. He's been charged with aggravated assault, battery with a deadly weapon, and reckless driving. Turner told Fox 13 he was just surprised as the brothers to see the weapon. Nobody carries them around unless they got something in mind. Exactly, police. Exactly. One area where we agree.
Getting a 20.
Oh, I didn't tell you to do that. The one area where we agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with Nick Jewell, What's the Tea, to recap Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be at 6:30 Eastern time tomorrow. So we'll see you then. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.